Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Amtrak is having a sale. Business travel is on the rebound big time, and a study pretends to tell us the best days to buy an airline ticket. Those stories next in the news.
In our Smarter Traveler segment, consumers are calling on Congress to rein in credit card fees. The average household pays about $1,100 in fees every year. Are the points and miles that you receive for those $1,100 really giving you value? Well, we'll discuss it coming up at 11:20.
I spent this past week on the road, specifically in Chicago and Seattle, checking out restaurants, attractions, and hotels for upcoming sports leisure vacations groups. I'll share my tips for you on visiting two of our country's most interesting cities at 11:35.
There's a new vacation rental company joining the market. At 11:52, we'll tell you a little bit about Talz, that's T-A-L-Z, and why they are so a little different and perhaps a little better.
Thank you for the privilege of your time. We are dedicated to making you a smarter traveler. We are the Travel Guys.
And on with the show we go. Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys with you. Thanks for coming along. Don't forget now, links to our special guests and information that we share here on the show, as well as other things to make you a smarter traveler, can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. Well, welcome back, Mark. As we mentioned in the headlines, we're going to talk more about it at 11:35, but off to Chicago and Seattle. Before we went on the air, you mentioned Seattle and a little bit of an event, you might say, and maybe some advice right off the top to make people smarter travelers and explain why.
Got to the airport last night in Seattle, couldn't figure out why our plane to Sacramento was delayed an hour and a half, and it was because it was on time coming in, and they explained that the president's plane was going to land about the time we were due to take off, and so we had to wait until his, they apparently do a ground stop at any airport where the president is coming in or going out for a half hour before his plane arrives, and then until it gets to wherever on the airport property that it's going. In many cases, the president will fly into an Air Force base or someplace so it isn't quite as disruptive to air travel. Why they didn't choose Boeing Field last night, which is only, I mean, you can practically hit it with a rock from SeaTac. Because it was Seattle's airport for many years, is very close by, and they didn't use that. I'm not a security expert on presidents, and my guess is that it had something to do with where he was going, what he was doing, what the security situation was. It was rush hour in Seattle, so I don't know. But we sat on the ground for a while, and doesn't matter what team he or she plays for. It's, you know, they have to travel, and the pilot explained to us when we got on the plane, he said, you know, it's not the first time I've run into this. He says it's happened to me a half a dozen times over the last, I think, 10 or 12 years. He said that he had been a pilot. And so we got out on time. And I mean, not on time, but we got out reasonably well. The Southwest people have a way of making delays. I'm sure everybody won't agree with me, but on the aircraft, they try to be a little bit more positive. And just, it's not quite as adversarial as, you know, we're sitting here, we're all miserable, there's nothing we can do about it, we have to wait for them to let us go. But it doesn't mean that we have to, you know, growl at each other or whatever. I mean, it is what it is. You have to wait until this situation clears itself, and then you can go home. And then got home, and it was 90 degrees here. What the heck did you guys do while I was gone for a week? My goodness, I left, it was 75, I came back, it was 90.
Yeah, and it's going to be another hot one again today, too. Yeah. You know, I love Sacramento summers. You always wish that they wouldn't come on you so quickly, that they could, you know, today would be 72, tomorrow would be 75, and then 80. And,
well, that's,
you know, it's got to jump from 70 to 92.
That seemed to be the way it was going when I left, so I kind of put you in charge, and, you know, I'm
not, sorry. I goofed it up badly.
I'm not all that impressed as a meteorologist. Hey, one thing we should do before we forget, and I know you have a little something later on in the program for people who haven't quite made that Mother's Day reservation yet, but happy Mother's Day to all the moms and grandmoms and all the substitute moms and who play mother for a lot of us. I don't know if you had that in your life, but I did. And my mom has passed now, and I miss her terribly. But Mother's Day was always a special day at our house. We didn't have a tremendous amount of money, but we always figured out a way to let Mom know that we appreciated what she did. So I think it's not the money you spend or the length that you go to create something. I think it's letting Mom know that, you know, what she, that you appreciate all of the little things that Mom has done for you over the years.
There you go. You know, she's always showed up in your life, then, you know, try to show up in hers once in a while if you can. You know, we had Mother's Day radio shows, you and I, with the Travel Guys on Sundays for 14 plus years. So it's still a little awkward not to actually be there on Mother's Day, but to be able to wish it to you for a day before. So absolutely, happy Mother's Day to all of the mom types out there. All right, so let's see. At the top of everybody's... Let's try that again. At the top of every Travel Guy radio show, we bring you up to date on what's going on in the travel news. And with the travel news, once again, Mark, what you got for us?
You're a longtime radio guy, right? You've done this before.
Oh, hush up. Hush up. Yeah.
Listen, I know you're a Disneyland guy, so I put this up on top. The Anaheim City Council has unanimously approved Disneyland's request to rezone much of its property its California theme parks sit on, paving the way for the biggest expansion in Disneyland's history. This is the deal. If you know the area around Disneyland, there is no, like, ground to build on. So what this is they're rezoning where Disneyland has hotels and maintenance areas and other things. And so my guess is that some things are going to come down and there's going to be some rearranging. This AP story doesn't have full details here. But for those of you who are Disneyland fans and can't, and save your dollars, because it'll probably cost a little more, that construction isn't free, but big changes, big additions coming to Disneyland. This story was kind of a hoot. This was on Travel Pulse, best day of the week to book your flight by airline. And they go through, and every airline is different. What they did was they took averages of to like six cities, and then they went in and said, what does this cost on Monday? What does it cost Tuesday, etc.? And with each airline. And when you read the article, each airline is different in terms of the number of days, which tells me that the methodology used to do this was not all that brilliant. So if you run across this article, take it with a grain of salt. Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know, Mark, you know quite a bit about this, so you're looking at this and probably have the ability to shoot some pretty big holes in it in regards to their accuracy as to why it would be different purchasing a ticket to fly on United versus Southwest on any day of the week.
And here's the example. On United, they say the best time to buy a ticket is on Sunday when it's about $18 cheaper from the most expensive day, which is Thursday. But then they go and tell you that Delta Airlines, the cheapest day is Thursday, but the most expensive day is Friday. So United is the most expensive day is Thursday, but on Delta, that's the cheapest day. You know what? Here, I'm looking, and you mentioned Southwest. Southwest isn't part of their little survey here. Alaska, cheapest day Thursday, most expensive day Saturday. Here's the deal, before we confuse people any further. Airline ticket prices tend to be a little bit higher on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. More people are browsing the web on those days. People don't buy their tickets necessarily from travel advisors anymore. All of us, many of us buy them online directly from the airline. Even if you're buying the ticket from a third party, from an online travel agency or something like that, more people have more time to research things on the weekends. The airlines are not stupid. They know this. So the prices go up on the weekends when there's more demand and more people are looking. Prices are a little higher. Generally, Monday through Thursday, prices are a little lower. That's been my experience over the last half decade, regardless of what the folks at Travel Pulse say. Amtrak is having a sale, pretty good sale. It expires on May the 16th. Today is the 11th. Do the math. next, what, Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
The sale will be over. There's about 30% off. Oftentimes, Amtrak sales do not apply to their Acela trains, which are the faster trains that don't make as many stops, travel a little faster. They're on the East Coast, basically between Boston and Washington, D.C. So this sale includes them. So if you're traveling to the East Coast, you're doing a little train travel. Also, a coach class on lots and lots of trains. One of the examples they've listed here is Los Angeles to Sacramento on the Coast Starlight, as low as $60 each way. So anyway, if you're going to do some Amtrak travel this summer, this is for travel between June 1st and August 30th. So it covers the whole summer. You can bet there probably won't be another sale. So if you're looking to travel on Amtrak, traveling by train is just so, if you don't really care when you get there, and God bless Amtrak, you really need to travel Amtrak when you really don't care when you get there. But it's just a wonderful way to go. And many of the long-distance Amtrak trains are really quite pleasant to travel on. They have observation cars and things like that, and food isn't too bad, so it's not a bad way to travel. Anyway, big Amtrak sale if you are interested.
Do you have a recommendation of a particular, if somebody wanted to be a first-timer, go get on an Amtrak and you know, do a day trip or two-day trip someplace out of this area? What would you recommend?
San Francisco is a great way to take Amtrak because you can get right into downtown San Francisco, you know, with all the traffic and everything. It's not particularly scenic going to San Francisco, although the hills are still green at this time of the year for a couple more weeks, maybe. I would say the Coast Starlight is, and if you want to travel on one of the fast trains, you know, go back and do New York to Boston or something like that. But the Coast Starlight is as scenic as any, and of course we have the California Zephyr that goes all the way back to Chicago through the mountains, through the Rockies and the Sierra. But that's more than a day trip or a 2-day trip. But anyway, those are some of my recommendations. We're lucky we live on the scenic side of the country. Got to fly over Mount Rainier and Mount Lassen and Mount Shasta and Crater Lake and all that last night. I had a window seat on the right side of the airplane. Actually, it was the left side of the airplane, which turned out to be the correct side to be on. Anyhow, let's see. Lots of news items here. I got to get going. Business travel is coming. Demand is coming back. A travel survey done online is saying that the number of trips overall by business travelers in 22 and 23 increased by 3%. That doesn't seem like much to you, but it is a tremendous amount. Three ticks on hotel occupancy, three ticks on airplane capacity, stuff like that. That's probably the difference between profit and loss. So they separated people into business travelers, road warriors, and occasional business travelers, and all of them were up. Interestingly enough, the road warriors are up 30% over the last 3 years. So more business travel. Don't know what that means, except that hotel rates are already high. So if you are competing with business travelers, remember their big days are Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. American Society of Travel Advisors is continuing their fight against American Airlines. We talked about how American decided that you had to be an approved agency if you issued a ticket in order for your customers to receive miles. So talk about an unfair competition sort of thing. American Airlines basically deciding who gets to sell their tickets and who doesn't, because who is endorsed as a preferred seller so that you can still get your miles. Travel advisors have said, wait a minute, this seems a little goofy, and it seems a little goofy to me too, that an airline can selectively decide who sells their tickets in order for their customers to get, you know, all of the benefits and stuff from buying a ticket from a third party. Also, American can get rid of you, could take you off the list on a whim. So it doesn't quite seem like things. So ASTA is fighting back and is going after American Airlines. I wish them well. The FAA implementation of required rest for air traffic controllers. Did you know this, Tom? Guys could work consecutive shifts.
An air traffic controller?
As an air traffic controller. It's what my dad did for a living.
Yeah, did he have to pull a double, triple shifts once in a while?
He had double shifts. I can remember that. So I don't think that's such a good idea, since these guys are, you know, we've seen a lot of close calls on the ground.
Yeah.
So the FAA says that they are going to, it's going to start in July. It's been postponed a couple months. But air traffic controllers will have to have 10 hours between shifts and 12 hours off before working an overnight shift. Kind of good news.
Yeah.
Especially speaking of FAA, the reauthorization bill goes to the House next week. The Senate passed it. This has been kind of a fiasco. For those of you that don't really care about stuff like this, here's the deal. When a big bill like this comes up, everybody who hasn't gotten their favorite project passed during the year tries to put an amendment on. And they say, you want my vote, then I want this. And somebody else says, you want my vote, I want this. And pretty soon the bill doesn't look anything like it started out as. It's got all these riders and attachments to it, all these favorite pet projects that people want to do. This is done by everybody in both houses of Congress on a pretty regular basis. So anyways, the Senate passed a pretty clean bill, have sent it over to the House. It doesn't have everything that all of the legislators wanted in it, but we'll talk about it next week after the House passes it and tell you what's in there that has not a damn thing to do with airline travel. Southwest Airlines has added a level to the Rapid Rewards Cash Plus Points. We don't have a lot of time to talk to it now. This is where airlines allow you to use, not if you don't have enough miles or points to buy the ticket for, to get the ticket for free, use some of the miles and points, add cash to it. Generally, they are pretty good deals. Southwest has created one, Cash Plus Points. It's a terrible deal. So unless you just don't fly Southwest and those miles have been sitting there forever and you just want to get rid of them, if you're a regular traveler, wait, save enough miles to get the ticket for free. You cut the redemption value of your points about in half. And that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom. Don't forget now, travelguysradio.com. Good place to go to make you a smarter traveler. All right, we mentioned that Rudy's has a Mother's Day reservations going on. And by golly, I was there yesterday and I found out they still have some room left. There are still some reservations that you can get and take Mom to Rudy's tomorrow if you would like.
If you're the guy who waited and you didn't do anything, and oh my God, Mother's Day is tomorrow, and you've forgotten to do anything, you could be a huge hero by taking Mom, wife, whoever the mother figure is in your life, or mother figures, to Rudy's. Plus, Rudy's is an old-time place, so Mom is going to love it.
Yeah, the number is 916-351-0606. 916-351-0606. There's still a few reservations available for Mother's Day tomorrow. And another idea real quick, if for any reason you'd just like to have Mom over to the house, but here again you forgot all about what you would cook, you know, you can call up Rudy's, check their menu online, and you could order Rudy's, pick it up, take it home. And if you got yourself a gift for Mom, you forgot that too, you can get her a Rudy's gift card. Get her a $100 gift card, and don't tell her you get $20 gift card when you buy the $100, or buy her a $50 and get $10. So it's a win-win. And Tom, the travel and entertainment guy's with you, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Okay, Mark, let's get to it.
Yep.
I spent $1,100 in credit card fees, according to the averages.
Yep.
And what am I getting? What am I getting my money's worth? What's going on?
I babbled so much, we just got a couple minutes for this here. But let me just tell you that the Merchants Payments Coalition, which is a trade organization fighting against high credit card swipe fees. In other words, for business people, they're trying to keep the fees that we pay for those cards lower. Why does that matter? Because businesses pass the cost of the swipe fees along to customers in the form of higher prices. I can tell you that my prices for travel are a couple points higher in order to cover those credit card swipe fees. And the better the credit card deal, you know, if you're getting 2% cash back or something, then the credit card has to make money. So they're probably charging me about 3.25 or 3.5% if you're using that 2% cash back card. So I've got that money has to come from somewhere. And so you are paying more for products, grocery store, I don't care where you go, in order to use those cards. This company has figured out that it's about $1,100 a year that you're paying more. So all I have to say to you, as a smarter traveler, shop, or anything, if you're not getting $1,100 worth of free stuff, airline tickets, hotel rooms, car rentals, whatever you use your points or miles for, then you're losing money. Because $1,100 per household is the break-even figure. So just think about that. I'm not a big advocate. I would love to see all of these credit card bonuses and stuff go away. Not credit cards themselves, but just let's stop adding 2 or 3 or 4% to the cost of everything so that some people can benefit. You're not using a credit card and you're not getting miles or points. You're getting skewered. That's just the bottom line. One other quick little item here. Red flag. TripAdvisor last week reported a first quarter profit. They're a public company, but their outlook was kind of muted and their stock didn't do well. Expedia had the same problem. Some travel companies, third-party companies, Booking.com did well. So if TripAdvisor, you're looking at something there, red flag, there might be some money problems there. So just be careful if you're buying. I don't know anything about their finances, but I know when some things like this come up that sometimes it's a word of warning. So just I pass along that word of warning.
All right. Well, that's a good tip. In regards to, I don't think I come even close to getting value worth $1,100 on on any credit card paybacks or. Have to look into that.
Well, people don't next know. Up, it's everywhere now. It's everywhere, literally.
It is. And by the way, if you miss a show, you can always go to our website, travelguysradio.com, or for that matter, you can go to iHeartRadio, or you can go to kfbk.com, where you will find podcasts of our shows to enjoy at your leisure. We have a pretty large podcast.
Hey, listen, I had a request during the break.
Yeah.
Actually, I had two requests on my cell phone just to show you. Basically, they would like to know the name of the restaurant and the phone number again for the last-minute Mother's Day stuff.
Okay, let's slow down. Okay, the restaurant we were talking about is Rudy's Hideaway off of Highway 50 in Hazel. And their number for those Mother's Day reservations, if they're still left, 916-351-0606. 916-351-0606. Good luck.
Thank you, sir.
Boy, it just shows you radio works.
It does.
Out to everybody, Mark.
Well, when we travel, the tour director gives their cell phone number to people in case they have an emergency. You know, they get someplace, they can't get back to the ship in time. You know how that works?
Right.
Back to the bus in time or something like that. So a couple folks, and they didn't give me their names. It's the little various messages there. One said, "What was the name of that restaurant again?" And one said, "Could you repeat the phone number? I'm in my car, and I want to. If there's only a few left, I want to get it as quick as I can." So, anyways, hopefully nobody crashes calling Rudy's Hideaway. But
have you seen the Northern Lights, Mark? Did you trip to Alaska or anything? It's really a big deal right now.
I've never seen them in Alaska, but I did see them in Seattle. One time outside of Seattle, actually Leavenworth, Washington, up in the Cascades. We have a tour director, Scott Angeletti, who takes a group of people every spring, late winter, let's call it, up to the Fairbanks area to see the Northern Lights up there. And he takes like a group of 20 people. It always sells out really quickly, and people always – he's had incredible luck with being able to see – he goes up and stays 3 nights. And if you stay 3 nights in a row, your chances of seeing the lights are like 85%. So that's what he does, and he's never not seen them. And people who have gone just rave about it. It's not something that grabs me and says, you know, run, do this. I'd rather go see a baseball game at Wrigley Field, but, you know, everybody has their choice.
That's true. My wife is, she's fixated with it right now, and this talk about, and they mentioned it on the news, that if you think that you're in an area where you can see it, if you use your cell phone and take a picture and then look at that, you will see the Northern Lights. You'll see the different colors and gradations because the camera's eye and lens can pick up stuff that the naked eye can't. Now, the only thing is that if that's the case, you can't see it with a naked eye and you got to take a picture. Why not just look at the pictures that others have already taken? And
I don't know. There's a lot of nudity involved here. It seems like, you know, things are not right. Speaking of watching a baseball game at Wrigley Field, he said.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
I was on the road last week and to Chicago and Seattle. And it was because we have baseball trips coming up there. So we're going to Chicago next month. I will just real quickly say, cheap plug here, we have two seats available. You want to see the Giants and the Cubs at Wrigley Field, call Sports Leisure Vacations on Monday. This is a little four-day, three-night trip, but I thought I would share, since we went and checked out a whole long list of things in both cities, I have some kind of updated wisdom for people who are looking for, might be going to one of those cities, and some ideas of things to do and places to stay and stuff like that. And there might even be one or two of my travelers listening who will get an update on the trip they're about to take in a few months. So anyway, Chicago, if you're flying into O'Hare, we've used this airport hotel for a number of years now. There's a Sheraton Suites. The great thing about it is that there's a Harry Carey's restaurant right across the parking lot. So it's a shuttle from the airport, and then you can walk to dinner. So you can save a day's car rental that way. Plus get a pretty good dinner. We didn't get the best meal at Harry Carey's that we've ever had. I was a little disappointed, but generally I will say that Harry's restaurants, there are four or five of them now around the Chicagoland area, and are generally have pretty good food. Bring your wallet. Breakfast place downtown, Old Route 66 place that our people are going to visit. I've talked about this before, Lou Mitchell's. Best place to have breakfast in downtown Chicago. I've never had lunch there. They serve breakfast all day. If you go at noon, I recommend the biscuits and gravy. Skydeck in Chicago, place where you can go up and see all around Chicago. Cool idea, except remember, Chicago tends to have a lot of changing weather patterns, literally within minutes, clouds and things of that sort coming off the lake there. So they don't give refunds. If you buy a ticket and the view isn't good, then you're just stuck. So something to think about. Chicago Sports Museum. If you're a sports fan, best sports museum in the country, except for the NFL Hall of Fame, the Baseball Hall of Fame, the Hockey Hall of Fame for specific sports. But for sports around Chicago, you know, Michael Jordan, a few other people have played in Chicago, the Bears. So that's a great place to go to. But this is interesting. They use the museum as a venue for corporate events and stuff like that, and it closes sometimes, is closed randomly. So make sure you check before you go there, the Chicago Sports Museum, to make sure that it's open. Really cool place that you have to go to if you're in Chicago. Not the best hamburger you will ever eat, but the coolest place. The Billy Goat Tavern. Tom, you're an old Saturday Night Live guy, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I remember John Belushi's old, you got to be old to remember this now, John Belushi's old cheeseburger.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Yeah, well, that was the Billy Goat Tavern in Chicago that was done in. And the Billy Goat Tavern has another piece of history, too, not only tied to Saturday Night Live. And when you go in there, by the way, they ask you if you want a cheeseburger. No fries, chips. The Billy Goat Tavern, the man who owned the tavern, the Cubs were in a World Series many years ago, and he had a goat, and he took the goat to the ballpark, and they wouldn't let the goat into the ballpark. And so he put a curse on the Cubs. The Cubs lost the World Series, and it was a long, long, long time before the Cubs won a World Series again, and they called it the Curse of the Billy Goat. It's Billy Goat Tavern. So there are several of them around Chicago. You have to go to the original one. It's down below the city, downtown. It's the original Billy Goat Tavern. They got burgers and dogs. It's not a real variety menu, like I said. Yeah, the hamburger was, yeah. But you have to go there. You have to go. If you're a Saturday Night Live fan, you must go there. If you're a baseball fan, you must go there. If you like off the beaten track, you must go there. And if you just wander around, get lost, and find the Billy Goat Tavern, then go there. If you go and you're a baseball fan, go to Graceland Cemetery, which is walking distance to Wrigley Field. It's about half, three-quarters of a mile. That's where Ernie Banks is buried. Mr. Cub. So if you are a baseball fan, make sure you get a map. You can walk into the cemetery and you can get a picture. Ernie Banks was always, you know, he loved playing baseball so much. He was the guy who always said, let's play two. You know, instead of only one. Anyway, some ideas about some places. If you're staying in downtown Chicago, we stayed at the Sheraton Grand, and it was a really nice hotel. Not too terribly expensive. Chicago hotel rates tend to vary depending on what's going on in town a lot. And then we spent the afternoon watching the Cubs and the Padres at Wrigley Field on a picture perfect day. And that's like, is this heaven? No, it's Wrigley Field on a perfect weather day. Hopefully next month we'll get the same. Off to Seattle. And when we got there, our folks are going to have a chance to visit Pike Place Market. I went to Chihuly Glass Museum, and I hadn't been there for about 10 or 12 years. I'm not necessarily an art sort of guy with that type of stuff, but, man, I'll tell you what, the exhibits at Chihuly are amazing. This guy has created these just glass works of art that some of them are huge, and they're colorful, and they're just amazing. They have a cafe there.
You didn't touch any, did you?
No. You don't touch them. they have an inside area and an outside area. It's right next to the Space Needle, which is, and you can get a combo ticket, so you can go up. Seattle is a great city to see from the sky. They used to have a restaurant up on the top of the Space Needle. Don't anymore. There's a snack bar. It's just, you can go up and get a great view of the city. Of course, again, like Chicago, weather changes quickly there, so make sure that if you're paying money to go up high, that you get something that you like. Ivar's Salmon House by the lake, which is about a mile and a half from Pike Place and Chihuly's. Great place to have lunch. They also have an area where you can order outside. You just pull up, park, you can order your food outside, and they've got a little place you can sit down and eat. So formal or informal, Ivar's by the lake in downtown Seattle. I really recommend. Museum of Flight out at Boeing. If you like airplanes, then you have to go here. It is, if airplanes, airports, etc., are something that fascinates you, then it's the best flight museum in the country. Also had a wonderful experience at Seattle Chocolate, which is on the south side, but you don't have a lot of time. About 40 minutes from downtown Seattle is Snoqualmie and Snohomish. And the Salish Lodge is not too terribly far from downtown Seattle. They have a very tiny dining room. Very, very, very good food. We had breakfast there. They do a breakfast, brunch, and then a dinner. It is an actual lodge, so the people who stay there have to be able to dine. Did I mention a very small dining room? But so you want reservations in advance and probably a couple weeks in advance. You want to go to someplace beautiful. They have a waterfall. This is an old lodge. It's a great, great, great place not too far from downtown Seattle. Salish Lodge. We also drove around in West Seattle, if you've never done that before. Alki's restaurant on the water there, Salty's. On the water, there are some really good restaurants in West Seattle, and a lot of folks, I think, have been to Seattle before. If you drive through West Seattle, you'll say, ooh, this is where I'm going to retire. But bring your wallet, because the places that have any kind of a view of the water, old, new, or otherwise, are just a bit pricey. Have you ever spent much time in Seattle or Chicago?
Well, in Chicago, no. Seattle, yes. Two or three good trips there, and I have to agree. The West Seattle area is a lot of fun and very expensive.
Well, and there's one other place I want to mention. This is not on our sports leisure itineraries, but it might appeal to the occasional traveler. In Seattle is a place called the Pinball Museum.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. From the oldest pinballs to the modern pinballs, it's a $23 ticket, and you can stay as long as you want. And,
did you get there?
We did. We went down the rabbit hole and were there for a couple of hours. My buddy Tyler, who takes looks after Mark when he's traveling, we both like pinball, and so it gets a little competitive there and a little swearing going on and stuff. And stuff like that. But if you go to Seattle, it's in a Chinese It's in Chinatown in Seattle. So if you just go along, the way you find it is the only place with English on the front there. It's the Pinball Museum. Anyway, it's open 6 or 7 days a week, and it's a really cool place to go. And, of course, you have to go to Pike Place Market if you go to Seattle. Tip there is, especially if you're going in the summertime, go early in the day. Try to go to Pike Place. Don't go too early because not everybody's open yet, but go to Pike Place between 9 and 10 in the morning. After 9:30 or 10, it gets really crowded. And, of course, the original Starbucks is right across the street. Expect to wait in line.
Well, there you go. Mark, I know you were talking about Chicago. You're going there for a baseball trip. Do you have another trip in the near future for sports leisure and vacationers to Seattle?
We are going in August, but unfortunately the trip is already full. We're offering two itineraries. People can go up and do baseball, or they can do sightseeing, some of the things that I was talking about, but it's already sold out. So, yes, because we are sports leisure vacations, we have the Giants and the Cubs at Wrigley for 3 days, and the Giants and the Mariners later on in the summer. And, the Giants, we don't have time to talk about that, and that's not a sports program, but may the Giants rest in peace. God, they lost to the Reds last night. Probably the worst team in baseball. Good Lord.
Did you see that inside the park home run by that young man from...
That was pretty cool. The park home run doesn't happen very often in baseball, but the ball's got to take a weird carom or something like that, which is exactly what happened.
And you got to run really fast like he did.
Yes, you absolutely do. Really fast.
We digress. All right. Hey, Mark, it's always fun to listen to you talk about one of your adventures, one that you've especially just went to. The excitement level in your voice and the animation is always enjoyable. Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for joining us. Into our final segment here. Mark, you had something you wanted to mention.
I did.
You forgot a restaurant, didn't you?
I was so basking in the glory of your compliment there at the end of the segment. I forgot to mention a restaurant, and this would be my traveling buddy Tyler would not be happy with me. We went to a restaurant in South Seattle called the Roast House. And it was really, 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 really yummy. And it's in South Seattle. Once again, a small restaurant. So a Sharp's Roast House. And Tyler said the prime rib was amazing. I had some ribs myself. And you can see like the meat roasting and stuff like that. Anyway, Sharp's Roast House. In South Seattle, not a real big place again, really popular with the locals, so you got to make sure that you get a reservation if you're going to go there. I'm going to take my baseball fans there.
All right, Sharp's Roast House.
Sharp's Roast House, that's it.
There.
All right, so we were going to talk about, there's a new entry apparently into the vacation rental market.
Mm-hmm.
But this kind of comes with a twist, and the way that this company is different, if you are a travel advisor, I know there are a few of them that listen to this program on a regular basis, this is something you're going to want to look into. Technology solutions for vacation, rental managers, travel advisors, real estate agents. So what this is a company they're trying to eliminate some of the problems that VRBO and Airbnb, some of the regular things they report on, you know, discrepancies of places isn't clean, or, you know, you get there, there's a problem. So they're trying to vet places ahead of time on a professional level. So if you are going to your travel advisor and saying, hey, you know, I'm going to the Seattle area for 4 nights and I need a place to stay, so find me a good place. And your travel advisor perhaps has no better method than you do for doing their homework and their research and coming up with what the best place might be. This is a company, Rentals, with a Z on the end, that rentals.com, that is in the market for, they're going to be the go-between to make sure that what you're buying is what you wanted to buy. What you get is what you thought that you were getting and what you paid for. So what I tell to our listeners is go online and take a look at. You can't book directly through these guys, but you can go to a travel advisor and they can book it for you. At least not yet. Maybe that's coming to their program here soon. But anyway, I just thought it was kind of interesting. It's just another way, and it also speaks to the fact that some people are saying, look, you know, when it comes to customer service and some of these issues, the companies that are not out there are not getting the job done, so there's room for more competition, and that's exactly what's happening. So these guys are saying what will make us better and different is we'll take care of those problems so that when you go to a travel professional and you book something and they book it through us, you're going to get what you paid for. Otherwise, we're going to stand behind it, and you're not going to have to worry about that because we spent more time and effort checking it out, trying to get rid of the people that are gaming the system and stuff. Remember, we talked a couple weeks ago about people who rented a vacation, got a vacation rental, and then got noticed that, hey, you know, now it's not available because it was for sale and it sold. And now what happens? You know, you got a place a year ago for a really busy time, and now it's not. Suddenly it's not available, and maybe nothing else is available at a reasonable price.
So rentals, R-E-N-T-A-L with a Z at the end, they will vet out Airbnbs and VRBOs and make sure that they are what they say they are. But are you saying that as it stands right now, the general public can or cannot use rentals?
Cannot. Or it's they have a software platform that can be used by travel professionals. So for those of you out there who have a travel agent or advisor and you use them to book this type of a product, this is going to give them an extra resource to be able to, and perhaps to be able to avoid some of those common problems.
There you go. So that sounds like something that, well, almost you guys could do.
Yeah, almost. That's kind of what I just spent last week doing on the road in Chicago and Seattle, is making sure that there were no challenges and problems when my travelers go. And indeed, we did find some things. I told you what my best tips were. I did not tell you some of the worst tips because some of the places to avoid, I'm trying to be nice. Hey, listen, one more quick thing here. The International Air Transport Association has released a global progress report on baggage tracking. So they're trying to get airlines to be a little more thorough in the way that they track bags, particularly lost bags. So I thought that was kind of cool that at least there is somebody. In 2022, the global rate of mishandled bags was 7.6 per 1,000 passengers. So that would be 0.76 per 100 passengers. Mm-hmm. So 3/4 of a bag per passenger. If you've seen part of a bag show up on the carousel before, that's because only 3/4 of the bag was lost. Anyway, we'll keep an eye on that and let you know if there's anything down the road. I think we are just about to the end of another session of the Travel Guys here. Thomas, you remember to dance like nobody's watching.
You know, please, please don't look. All right, my friend, you stay well. We'll be back next week. We're going to talk about San Francisco's festival coming up next Saturday, 11 a.m. Stay well.